Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 10. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. We'll look at this verse in just a few moments. But if I could have your attention. Who is God? If you were raised Christian, you would probably say the God of the Bible is God. If you were raised Muslim, you would probably say that Allah is God. If you were raised under the influence of Darwinian thought, you would probably say there is no such thing as God. If you were raised in idolatrous culture, you would probably say that some sort of idol is God. The fact is that how you answer this question is greatly affected by the worldview in which you were raised. The Christian mandate is to go into the entire world and to confront the world with the person of Jesus Christ. The propagation of the message of Christ is to be carried out by the peaceful means of witnessing and preaching. Jesus said to His disciples before He ascended back to heaven, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this opportunity to proclaim the God of the Bible. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that You would empower me and fill me. And may every word that's said be clear and understandable. And I pray that there will be many people in this room and many people in our community and many people in this world that will come to know the God of the Bible. Father, I need Your help. In Jesus' name, amen. The mandate of biblical Christianity is not to go into the entire world and to coexist with other religions. This is a popular view of many in our society, but not of those who believe the Bible is the Word of God. I have seen religious pluralism being promoted through a popular bumper sticker. Maybe you've seen it. The bumper sticker is simply the word coexist. Each letter of the word is formed by the symbol of a religion. There are seven letters in coexist, and there are seven symbols on this bumper sticker spelling that word. The first symbol is the symbol of Islam, the moon. It forms the sea. And then the symbol of peace is used to form the O. And then the symbol for male and female is there to form the E. And then the Star of David, Judaism, is there to form the X. And then the star, the symbol for Wicca or pagan, or also for the Baha'i faith, is there to form the I. And then the symbol for Taoism or Confucianism is there to form the S, and then for the T is the cross of Christianity. Religious pluralism isn't the goal of biblical Christianity. If there is a Christian church, quote unquote, that promotes that philosophy, it's not a church that believes the Bible. Because the mandate of biblical Christianity is to confront the world with the God of the Bible. As a Christian, my greatest desire for you is that you would believe that Jesus is God and the Savior of the world. I trusted in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior in 1983, and He changed the course of my life. If you are a Muslim, I hope that you will renounce Allah and embrace Jehovah. If you are Hindu, I hope that you will turn from your idols to the living and true God. If you are an atheist or agnostic, I hope that you will repent of your unbelief and trust the God of the Bible. Who is God? The answer to this question cannot be proved through a human's independent observation, human experience, or human discovery. I believe I have sensed and I have believed the presence of God, but I have never seen God with my eyes. I have never heard God with my ears. I have never touched God with my hands. You see, the very qualities of God are impossible for me or anyone else to comprehend. For God to be God, He has to be infinitely superior to us. How can I prove an infinite God? For instance, how can a man that was born in 1970 prove an eternal God? I would have to be eternal to say, I know who God is, He's eternal. I was there. Do you get the thinking? It's impossible for me to prove an eternal God. To try to prove a God that is omniscient is impossible when my knowledge is so limited. The God of the Bible claims to be all-knowing. So how can a man say, I know who God is, I know everything, and I know the God that knows everything? It's impossible for a man independent of God to observe and to prove the existence of God. There is no scholar, there's no scientist, there's no professor that can comprehend or prove the existence of God. To prove God by observation, experience, or discovery, you would have to possess the same attributes as God. The only way that we can know who God is if God chooses to reveal Himself. The only way we can know who God is if God chooses to reveal Himself. Who is God? This question can only be answered by God Himself. I have 2 points in this message. The first point is, the God of the Bible claims to be the only God. The God of the Bible claims to be the only God. Deuteronomy 4:35 says, unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him. Deuteronomy 4:39, know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 43, look at verse number 10 with me. It says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Look at Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 6. Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Look with me at Isaiah 44 and verse 8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Isaiah 45 and verse 6. Isaiah 45 Actually, 45 and verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. And then Isaiah 45 and verse 21. Tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from the ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. The only way for us to know God is if God reveals Himself to us. He has stated many times, we've read them this morning, that He claims to be the only true God, and that there are no other gods. The God of the Bible claims to be the only God. Point number two, the God of the Bible has revealed Himself throughout history. The God of the Bible has revealed Himself throughout history. In Genesis 17 and verse 1, Genesis 17 and verse 1, God appears to Abraham in the form of a man. And He says to Abraham, Genesis 17:1, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. God revealed Himself to Abraham and said, I am the Almighty God. God revealed Himself to Moses. Exodus chapter 3. Moses was raised in Egypt. He was born to a Jewish family, but was adopted by Pharaoh's family. He grew up in Pharaoh's household, but when he became a man, he stood up for his people, the Jewish people who were slaves in Egypt. He killed a man. And Pharaoh wanted Moses killed. And Moses fled into the wilderness. And for 40 years, from the time he was 40 until he was 80, he was in the wilderness. And then God appeared unto him in a burning bush. Look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of a bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham. Remember the God of Abraham? God appeared to Abraham and said, I am the Almighty God. This same God is appearing to Moses and says, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Look at verse number 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he says, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. You see, I am means the self-existent one. The creator of the world needs nothing to exist. He exists on his own. He is the self-existent, eternal God. Verse 15 said, and God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. What is the name of God? I am. The self-existent one. I am. The God of the Bible revealed Himself to the Hebrews, to the children of Israel, in a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. Look at Exodus 13 and verse number 21. Exodus 13 and verse number 21. And the Lord went before them. When you see the word Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, it is the name Jehovah God. It means the I Am. It means the self-existent God. It says, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by the day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. The Lord went before them in a pillar of cloud. The God of the Bible claims to be the only God, and He has revealed Himself throughout history. God revealed Himself to the Hebrews, to the Jewish people, and the Egyptians through a miraculous deliverance. Look at Exodus chapter 14 and verse 4. You can read the book of Exodus and find out that Pharaoh would not let the children of Israel go. They numbered 600,000 men with women and children. Maybe their numbers neared 2 million people. And they were slaves under Pharaoh's rule. They built the great Egyptian pyramids. They built that great dynasty. They were the slaves that built it. But God, their God, wanted to deliver them. And God raised up Moses and said, go and lead my people out of Egypt. But Pharaoh would not listen. Pharaoh would not let them go. And God used 10 plagues. You can read about them in the book of Exodus. And finally, after the 10th plague, Pharaoh let them go. But Pharaoh quickly changed his mind and chased after them into the wilderness. The children of Israel, they walked, they followed that pillar of fire and that pillar of cloud right to the edge of the Red Sea. Whew. Maybe that's where Metro Baptist Church is. We're just being led to the edge of the Red Sea. And God's going to do something for us. I don't know. I don't know what God has in store. But God led the children of Israel to the edge of the Red Sea. And He proved Himself to be God. He revealed Himself to be God to His people and to the Egyptian people. Look at verse number 4. Exodus 14, 4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now go down to verse number 18. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overflew through the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots, and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw that the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. God revealed Himself to Abraham. God revealed Himself to Moses in a burning bush. God revealed Himself to the Hebrews in a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. God revealed Himself to the Hebrews and Egyptians through a miraculous deliverance. He parted the Red Sea, and they walked across on dry land, and the Egyptians were conquered there in that sea. Turn with me to chapter 19. God revealed Himself to the Hebrews through His written word. God revealed Himself to the Hebrews through His written word. Look at Exodus chapter 19 and verse... God revealed Himself to the Hebrews through His written word. At Mount Sinai in the wilderness, God revealed Himself to His people through His written word. God used Moses to pen the Pentateuch. Those are the first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They were not all penned on this event in Exodus 19. But during his life, Moses wrote the Pentateuch. And in the Pentateuch, we learn one of the most important truths, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God was the only eyewitness, and God revealed that truth to Moses. Moses wrote it down, and we know today that God created the world because He chose to reveal that to us. In Genesis 1:26, we learn of man's purpose on this earth. Why are we here? Are we here just to take up space until we die? Are we just some sort of cosmic accident? No, the Bible says, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." God revealed Himself to the Jewish people through His written word. God gave that to Moses. And through this Bible, we know why we're here and where we came from. We see here in Exodus chapter 19 that God also chose to reveal Himself to the world through the greatness of Israel's kingdom. Notice it says in Exodus 19 and verse 3, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto Myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey My voice indeed, and keep My covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto Me above all people. For all the earth is Mine. And ye shall be unto Me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." God created the nation of Israel to model before the world the person of God. Israel was God's representative. We see in 1 Kings chapter 10, 1 Kings chapter 10, this promise in Exodus 19 was given to 2 million slaves in the desert following a pillar of fire. But in 1 Kings chapter number 10, we see that this was fulfilled. That people would come from all corners of the earth to witness the greatness of Israel's kingdom. 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse number 1, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all the questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendant of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice." God revealed himself to this world through the greatness of Israel's kingdom. But then on the flip side of that, God revealed himself to disobedient Israel through the prophetic conquest of their land by Babylon. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 25. You see, God promised the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy that if they would honor God and obey God, he would make them a great nation. But if they disobeyed God and served idols and served other gods, he would destroy their nation and scatter them throughout the world. Well, this specifically happened at the hand of the nation of Babylon. Prior to Babylon's conquering of Jerusalem, the prophet Jeremiah prophesied that this would happen. In Jeremiah 25 and verse 1, it says, "The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah." That was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, "the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened." Now notice what he spoke specifically in verse number 8. It says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation. And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also, and I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands." So Jeremiah is God's messenger to the children of Judah. And he proclaims to the children of Judah, the nation of Babylon is going to conquer you. And you are going to serve the nation of Babylon for 70 years. And then the nation of Babylon is going to come to an abrupt end. And Babylon is going to be judged for their evil deeds. All of this was foretold before it ever happened. And this is one of the greatest ways that the God of the Bible has revealed Himself throughout history. It was interesting. During this powerful reign of Babylon, Babylon was the first world empire. They controlled the known world. They controlled it. Nebuchadnezzar was the powerful leader. He had absolute power. If he wanted someone killed, he killed them. If he wanted to make a law, he made a law. He had absolute and supreme power. Well, during the greatness of Babylon's kingdom, God already said it was going to end in 70 years. And God named in the book of Isaiah a king before the king was born, 100 years before the king was born of this conquering kingdom. God named him. The name of this guy was Cyrus. And God said in Isaiah 44:28, over 100 years before he was born, God said, "Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid." 70 years after Israel was conquered, Judah was conquered by Babylon, 70 years later, the Medo-Persian Empire conquered Babylon. You can read about it in Daniel chapter 5. They had a big drunken party, and Babylon had these huge walls surrounding the city, monstrous walls. It was an impenetrable city. And history tells us that the nation, the Medo-Persian armies, redirected the river, and their armies walked underneath the walls of Babylon and conquered that nation on that night, 70 years after they conquered Jerusalem. Well, when Cyrus, the king of Persia, was told that his name was in the Bible and that it was exactly 70 years since Babylon conquered Jerusalem, you know what he did? He said, "Jewish people, if you want to go back to your land and rebuild your city and rebuild your temple, go ahead. I will issue a decree. Go ahead." God revealed Himself to disobedient Israel through the prophetic conquest of their land by Babylon. Jerusalem didn't think they were going to be conquered. They thought God would protect them. But God wasn't going to protect them because of their ungodliness and their wickedness and their disobedience. God wasn't going to protect them. So Babylon conquered them. But just as God predicted, Babylon would be conquered 70 years later. And just as God predicted, a king named Cyrus was going to tell the children of Israel, "If you want to go back to your homeland and build your temple and rebuild the walls, go ahead." All of this happened as God ordered. God revealed Himself to Cyrus, the king of Persia, through the discovery of his place in God's prophetic plans for Israel. God revealed Himself to King Nebuchadnezzar. Let's just rewind back a little bit and let's think about the king of Babylon. Go with me to the book of Daniel, chapter number 2. Daniel chapter number 2. It's after the book of Jeremiah. It's after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 2. The God of the Bible claims to be the only God. And the God of the Bible has revealed Himself time and time again throughout history. It's recorded in this book. God is not just interested in revealing Himself to a choice few. God wants to reveal Himself to everyone, even to the wicked king Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 2, God revealed Himself to King Nebuchadnezzar through the interpretation of a dream. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that he forgot. But it troubled him so much, he went to his astrologers and wise men and said, "I need to know the interpretation of this dream. The only problem is I don't remember the dream. So you have to remember the dream and tell me what the dream means." And all the astrologers and wise men of Babylon said, "King," they didn't say this out loud, but they thought, "you have lost your mind. How can we tell you what your dream was? We can't." And all of them are going to lose their life, including Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, four of the children of Israel that were working for Nebuchadnezzar. But Daniel, he went to Nebuchadnezzar and said, "Give me a few days and I'll give you the interpretation of the dream. God will give me the interpretation of the dream." Well, this was Daniel's interpretation. Not only did God give him the interpretation, He gave him the dream. Look at Daniel 2 and verse 31. He said, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly, his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet, part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." What an image! What a vision that God gave to Daniel. But what did it all mean? Well, look at the interpretation, verse 36. "This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king," Nebuchadnezzar, "art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." Nebuchadnezzar was that gold head. And historians will tell you, this head of gold was followed by another kingdom, the Medo-Persian kingdom, which was followed by another world empire led by Alexander the Great. He is the belly and legs of brass. And that kingdom was followed by a Roman kingdom. And since the Roman kingdom, there has never been another world controlling empire. It just kind of dissolved. It's never been conquered. And one day, the Bible says that this Roman empire will be revived. And we see that in the feet of this statue, part clay and part iron. A picture of the disintegration of this powerful Roman kingdom through democracy. You see, Rome had absolute power, but they lost their power. But one day this kingdom will be revived. Let's continue reading in verse 39. "And after thee, Nebuchadnezzar, shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as the iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were of part iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings, the 10 kings represented by the 10 toes, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. You see, the day Babylon conquered Jerusalem, prophetically, the Bible says that we have been in the time of the Gentiles. And these Gentiles have ruled the world since 606 BC. But the Bible says there's coming a day when a stone cut out of heaven is going to destroy the power of the Gentiles. That stone cut out of heaven is the rock, Jesus Christ. You can read about His powerful conquering of the world, I believe in Revelation chapter 19. Verse 45, "For as much as thou sawest that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron and the brass, the clay, the silver and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. God showed to Nebuchadnezzar that he was God through the interpretation of a dream. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar has not converted yet. He is not converted yet. In fact, he builds himself a statue in his honor, and he orders his kingdom to bow before this statue. 3 Hebrew men, I don't know where Daniel was at the time, but 3 Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we're not going to bow to that statue. We bow only to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, the king's declaration was that if you did not bow to this statue, you get thrown into a fiery furnace. Well, look what happens in chapter 3 and verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. God revealed himself to King Nebuchadnezzar by the deliverance of 3 men from a fiery furnace. But God wasn't finished with Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 4, one of the most amazing chapters in the Bible. Nebuchadnezzar is giving his testimony of salvation. Nebuchadnezzar was an idolater. He's already had Daniel's interpretation of a dream. He's already seen three men in a fiery furnace come out alive, not even smelling like smoke. And God's still not finished with him. And this is his testimony. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all the people, nations and languages that dwell in all the earth. Nebuchadnezzar, at this point when he's saying this, he rules the world. He rules the world. He's giving a testimony to the world. That dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied on you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are His signs, and how mighty are His wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. Once again, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, but he doesn't know the interpretation. So he goes to Daniel, and Daniel goes to God, and God gives him the interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar is telling this after all of this has happened. Look what he says in verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was the meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. Nebuchadnezzar was like this tree. And he controlled the entire world. Verse 23, And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and a brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times, that means 7 years, shall pass over thee, till thou know. Woo! The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever He will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. It may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. God said Nebuchadnezzar is going to be chopped down. He's going to grovel in the fields as a madman, but then God is going to restore his kingdom. You know that's like me walking up to President Obama and saying, "You're going to be in the gutter tomorrow. You're a president today, but there's coming a day, and you're going to be. But after 7 years walking the streets of New York in the gutter, you're going to be made president again." Nebuchadnezzar was the highest ruling power in the world. And look what happens to him, verse 28. And this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, The kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men, did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honor him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and whose kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. We see that God revealed himself to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon through the interpretation of a dream, through the deliverance of three men from a fiery furnace, and by his foretold abasement. If we fast forward in the Bible, we come to a Roman-dominated Jewish world. And God revealed to the Roman-controlled Jewish world through the miraculous life of Jesus Christ. God revealed himself. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3:16, And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. To the Roman world, to the Jews that lived in the promised land, God revealed himself through a baby born in a manger, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We've been preaching on Sundays through the summer on John 20 and verse 30 and 31. Speaking of the life of Christ, it says, And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. God revealed himself to the Roman-controlled Jewish world through the miraculous life of Jesus Christ. Then God revealed himself to the entire world through the preaching of the gospel by witnesses. By the end of the first century AD, the gospel message had been spread through Asia Minor and into Europe, and continues to be propagated today by Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. God has revealed himself in the 20th century by the rebirth of Israel as a nation. In 1948, the United Nations established Israel as a nation. Jerusalem was conquered in 606 BC and did not have its own sovereignty again until 1948. The rebirth of an ancient nation has never before happened in history. But this miracle was foretold many times in Old Testament scriptures, one of which is Ezekiel 11:17 that says, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. In 1880, the Jewish population in Palestine was approximately 25,000. In the year 2000, 120 years later, the Jewish population was approximately 4.8 million. And this miracle was prophesied thousands of years before. Who is God? The God of the Bible claims to be the only God. The God of the Bible has revealed Himself throughout history. And if He chose not to reveal Himself, it would be impossible for us to know God. To deny the God of the Bible, you must deny the eyewitness accounts of millions. You know, there were 2 million Jews that walked through that Red Sea. There was a whole nation of Egypt that said, "We've lost our Pharaoh and his army in the midst of the sea." We would have to disprove, you would have to disprove the prophetic dealings of God with Israel throughout their well-documented history. A fragmented people for 2,000 years, over 2,000 years, scattered people, and yet they have one of the most well-documented histories in the world. To deny the God of the Bible, you must disprove His prophetic ordering of world events. Read your history books. Babylon was followed by Persia, was followed by Greece, was followed by Rome. And Israel would be regathered. All of this was told us before it ever happened. To disprove or to disregard the God of the Bible, you must disprove the miraculous life of Jesus Christ. And the saddest thing of all, to deny the God of the Bible, is to reject the revelation or the revealing of God's love to man. We don't just serve an almighty God. The God of this book is not just almighty, eternal, all-knowing. But the Bible says the God of this book is all-loving. And He revealed that love. It says in 1 John 4:9, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." 1 John 3:16, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He," who? God, "laid down His life for us." We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." To deny the God of the Bible is to reject the revelation of God's love to mankind. Religion, it doesn't matter what name they attach to it. Religion teaches, if you're going to get to God, you better climb the ladder. You better be good. You better have more good works than bad works. But the God of the Bible is a God of grace. He says you can't get to heaven on your own. In fact, I'll make a perfect way for you to get to heaven. I will leave heaven. I will die for your sins. I will be buried in a tomb. I will rise again. And whoever believes in Me should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the God of this book hasn't hidden this as a mystery from this world since it began. No, God has been revealing Himself since Adam and Eve. And God has given the record of His book to us to know Him. And to reject the God of this book, you have to reject history. You have to reject the revelation of Himself. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you looked to Him for salvation? Remember, we read that verse earlier in the message. And Isaiah 45:22 says, "Look unto Me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else." What is the Christian mandate? To go into all the world, and to call people to look upon the God of the Bible for salvation. Do you know for sure you're saved? Do you know for sure when your life is over, you will go to heaven? The God of the Bible, He is God. And He is the Savior of the world.